every day, every single day, you and I come to the proverbial fork in the road. We've got to make a choice. We need to make a decision of which direction we're going to go on that particular day. If you decide to go to the left, you'll walk down the bitter road. It's marked with negative thoughts, with fear, anxiety, stress, resentment, worry. It's the road you go down when you kind of put God aside and you walk down the road yourself. Take on all that the world brings you that day on your own. And it's a bitter road because it's a miserable road. But you have another choice. You could choose on that particular day to go to the right. And if you decide to take the road to the right, you'll find yourself on the better road. It's the road where you have an attitude of gratitude, where there's joy, where there's peace, where there's contentment, where there's fulfillment, regardless of what's going on. You walk down that road, you're getting better. You know why? Because that's the road where God is part of your life, where you've connected with God and you decided to walk down the road of your life that day with God in a close personal relationship with Him. In fact, you take His hand. He's been reaching out to you, right? And for some of you, a long, long time, He's been reaching down. He's waiting you to trust Him, to reach up, to take that hand. He'll pull you up and He'll take you down the road unafraid. It's the right way. It is the better road. And every day we have a choice of which road we're going to go down. You saw in the opening video that the glass represents your life. The water in the glass represents all the stuff or things in your life. Whatever it is, it's all different for each one of us. And you notice he said the question isn't whether the glass is half empty or half full. The question is, are you thankful for the glass? Are you a grateful person, thanking God for all the things that He's done in your life? You know, there comes a time in everyone's life, and particularly for those who are Christians who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, where you put that busy schedule on hold, you put your things to-do list aside, you stop all the stinking thinking and all the stuff you're doing, and you simply close your eyes and you think about God. You dwell on Him. You think about all that God is and all that He's done for you. And you begin to think about your many, 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 and one more many blessings in your life. And your heart begins to well up with gratefulness. And it gets so filled up with gratefulness and gratitude that you can't help but let it out. And you thank the Lord for all that He's done and all that He is. You know, I say that, and how is this all connected, is that any time during any day, you have the ability to go from the left road over to the right road. Isn't that cool? At any moment, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you'll be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to cross over from the left path to the right path. And one of the ways that you can do it is when you put aside all the bad thoughts, whatever you're dwelling on, whatever it is, and you just think about your many blessings and you begin to thank the Lord. You'll see there's a path that will lead you back to the right road. Isn't that cool the way God works? That's what I love about being a Christian. At any time, in any place, under any circumstance, I can get right with God. He's always there with open arms, ready to take me back because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. The same is true for every Christian. The right road. And I'm here to ask you that you would make this week an entire week of Thanksgiving, kicking off today, that you would walk down the right path this entire week, taking God's hand. I know we're frail and messed up and we got problems. Take His hand. Trust Him. And God will take you down the right path, unafraid, as you praise and thank Him. simply define gratefulness as a feeling or attitude of gratitude and appreciation that wells up inside when you begin to think about, ponder, recognize, and recall the many, 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 many ways you've been blessed by the Lord. Thanksgiving, then, is the outward expression of your inner gratefulness. And I believe there comes a time when we need to do that. This sermon series is all about making giving thanks a habit in your life, that it would become a lifestyle for you and I. We've been practicing it for the entire month now of November. And to help us to give thanks to the Lord, we've been studying Thanksgiving Psalms. Psalms that give us insight and help us to give thanks to the Lord. And today, we hit one of the best. I couldn't pass it up. We're going to focus in on Psalm 100. It's a great psalm of thanksgiving. It's designed for people like you and I to give thanks to the Lord, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on in your life. Well, we now transition into a teaching time, and you know when we study the Bible, we follow our 9 steps of Bible study. And we always begin with prayer because we've learned that Bible study is a supernatural experience. And so you begin with prayer. Even before you open the Bible up, you pray, asking God, please God, show me your truth. You ever wonder why some people don't get the Bible and they read it or they don't like it or they don't understand it? Because the Bible clearly says that it is a spiritual experience. You cannot understand it. It's understood supernaturally. It's when you trust in Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to come in your life. This book will open up a whole new world and you will literally be blown away. For those who love the Bible, can I hear an amen to that? You can testify to that. There's testimonies throughout the room about the amazing gift that the Bible is to us. So we begin in prayer. Oh God, we're finite, frail people. We all have problems. I have a load of problems. A lot of stuff going on in my life, and I know in the lives of the people here. So we ask you for an extra measure of grace. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in us now. Draw us closer to you and bring us together to focus on the Word. Open our eyes that we may see the wonderful truths in your Word. Let it be so, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Step 2 in Bible study is you got to review the basics. Where did we land? Now, we've been in the Psalms all month, so I'm going to go through this quickly. These messages are online if you want to listen to them, www.firstbaptistcourthouse.org. It's on the front of your bulletin if you want to hear the basics a little slower. We're in the Old Testament. Its category is poetry and wisdom. There's 150 Psalms in 5 sections. This is Hebrew poetry as songs that contain prayers and praise that reveal who God is and what God has done. They give us wisdom on how to live a godly, successful life. There are various authors, 73 attached to David. There are very many different, there's various types of psalms. We've landed in Psalm 100. The title of the psalm says it all. If you look in your Bible, this is what the NIV 84 has, a psalm for giving thanks. The author and occasion is unknown. There's a lot of speculation on that. You can look that up. What's the genre? It's a royal or enthronement psalm. In fact, it's the culmination of the royal psalms. If you're not familiar with the royal psalms, Psalms 96 to 99 are enthronement psalms, where they enthrone or lift up God as the king of the universe. Isn't that cool? Because God is the mighty sovereign of the universe. It lifts them up. The Lord is king, and it reveals who God is. And so at the end of that, when you read those psalms, when God's revelation is given to you, you can't help but thank Him. That's why Psalm 100 is a culmination of it, to give thanks for God as king. It's sometime, the date is sometime when the temple was built. I'm talking about the first temple under Solomon. That's my view of it. The focus, it's an invitation for God's people to give thanks to the Lord. Here's some unique features. There's 7 imperative verbs in verses 1 through 4. We're going to go over those. The psalm is designed for giving thanks. That's why it's in the Psalter. We learn the who of giving thanks, the how of giving thanks, and the why of giving thanks in Psalm 100. Here's the scene. A group of worshipers in ancient times, Jews, they've gathered at the temple in Jerusalem. At the gates leading into the holy place, the priest summoned the people to enter through the gates with thanksgiving. Now, there's a lot of renditions of Solomon's temple. You can look it up. There's no excavation of it, but there's a description of it in the Bible. This is one that I particularly like, and I kind of accentuated the holy place there, the Hakal there in Hebrew. You see, there's doors going in there. So they're lining up, getting ready in the inner court. They're ready to go into the holy place, and the priests invite them in. And when they enter, they are to enter with thanksgiving. You know, the same is true for you and I. We look back, that's the way it was instructed to God's people many, many, many years ago. But the same is true for us. We're God's people. So we are to enter this place and this sanctuary with thanksgiving in our hearts. How could we not? Our sins are forgiven. We're going to heaven. God has blessed us immeasurably. We should come in here with a grateful heart, ready to express it to God in thanksgiving. That's what this psalm is all about. So open up your Bibles if you have it there. There's Bibles at the end. There's Bibles in the back. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. We've got ushers here to be able to get you a Bible. But if you can, take a look at a Bible because we're going to go through it verse by verse. There's only five verses. It won't take long. And then we have a special surprise at the end of the message. Psalm 100. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Open up the Bible you have to Psalm 100, and I'm going to read the entire psalm. It's only five verses. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Psalm 100. And now, we take a look at it verse by verse with steps 4 and 5 of studying the Bible. I'm going to give you my observations and I'm going to reveal to you briefly the research that I did on these verses. Psalm 100 is all about giving thanks. It answers the question of who. Who are we to give thanks to? Well, there's only one. His name is Yahweh. Now that's the name that God gave Himself, the name that He gave to Moses, remember? Moses asked, God, what's your name? Names were very important because they reveal the character, the substance, the virtue of something or someone, in this case of God. This name Yahweh, which is translated in English in our versions as the Lord, directs us to the self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, one and only true God, the God who was, the God who is, the God who will always be, the one and only true God. He is the Lord. In English, it's translated, I am. So that's who we give thanks to. I think it's kind of obvious, but there's only one that we praise and worship, and it's the living, loving God of the Bible. And now we come to the imperatives, the commands. How are we supposed to thank the Lord? Well, we're given instruction in Psalm 100. In verse 4, we begin. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. The first imperative is the word enter. That we are to enter God's presence with an attitude of gratitude and a mouth full of thanksgiving and praise. That's what the priest was telling God's people. They're lining up. They're just like you and I are. They're humans, right? You have all kinds of junk on your mind and this and that. And the priest is there saying, when you come through these gates, when you come through these doors, you are to enter with an attitude of gratitude and a heart full of thanksgiving to the Lord. That's the way you present yourself to God when you come into this holy place. That's the instruction of the priest. You enter God's presence with an attitude of gratitude. How much more today do we have to be thankful than back then? That was before Jesus even came, our Savior and our Lord. I happen to believe, you know, there's a reason why we keep the cross out and prominent. I believe that when we come in on a Sunday, we should immediately fix our eyes and our attention on the cross. Because on that cross, Jesus died to pay the punishment for your sin. And He rose again, defeated death, and came back alive. These are historical facts, by the way. You can look it up. And Jesus lived and died and rose again. He won the victory over sin and death. And He died for you personally on that cross. All that flood on you when you come into this place. And you should well what? Gratitude, right? You should be so filled with joy of, look what God has done for me when you look at the cross. And that gets you ready to worship, does it not? You're ready to enter with thanksgiving and enter with joy in your heart. Well, let's continue on with our seven commands. And number two is shout. We're in verse one now. Notice how the psalm begins with a command. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. That's, you shout for joy with unashamed enthusiasm. Now, the word shout literally means give a blast. But here it means giving verbal expressions of thanksgiving. It could mean, within the context, remember they're entering in, and these are songs, right? These are songs. It could mean enter with passionate joy. Now, I like the way the ESV, the English Standard Version, and I think King James as well, says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. You know, that gives a lot of hope for people that can't sing well. Am I right? You know, you get nervous about this. Oh, I got to sing unto the Lord. I can't sing. But it says, make a joyful noise. It's your heart that matters. Does everyone know that here? Christianity is all about the heart and your heart relationship with God. And if you're right with God, and when you're filled with gratitude, however it comes out, it doesn't matter. He's pleased with that when you thank Him from your heart. Amen? That's what He's looking for. You shout for joy. And who does it? All the earth. It means all earth dwellers, people, everyone. Here is the third imperative command. Worship the Lord with gladness and delight. You know what's interesting? Some of your versions has the word serve, right? Serve the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Now what you need to know is that in the Hebrew mind in ancient days, they equated serving God with worshiping God. To serve the Lord was to worship the Lord. To worship the Lord was to serve the Lord. They're interchangeable. This word is used throughout the book of Deuteronomy, and you can check that sometimes it's serve, sometimes it's worship, because they're interchangeable. You know what that means? When you serve God here in this church, whatever capacity it is, it's a form of worship. Worship comes from the old English word worthship. It's giving something or someone the worth, the value they deserve. In this case, it's the value, the veneration, the glory that God deserves. When you serve Him, you're worshiping Him. When you worship Him, you're serving Him. It's quite fascinating how that word is used, but you do it with gladness and delight. We continue on with our imperatives. The next one is come. We look at verse 2. Come before the Lord. Come before Him with joyful songs. The word come means present, that you come and you present yourself to God just as you are, but you do it with joy in your heart and your heart ready to sing a praise unto God. The next command is know. The word know there. It says in the Bible, know that the Lord is God, verse 3. Do you see that? Know that the Lord is God. The word know means acknowledge. There's only one true, living, loving God. In this context, know means understanding in your mind and in your heart and recognizing that there's only one true God and you belong to Him within the context. So when you walk in here, you're acknowledging there's only one God. I worship Him and Him alone. That's the point He's trying to make. And it's a command. And then we finish off with the final two. Verse 4. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. You know, when we thank God, we thank Him for what He's done. when we praise God, we praise God for who He is. Because when it says we praise His name, the name represents His character, His virtues, His being. All that God is, we praise Him. For all that He's done, we thank Him. And you put it all together here, you see these seven commands for God's people, people like you and I. We are to enter the sanctuary with joy in our hearts. We are ready to let it out and shout and sing praises to Him, to worship Him and to serve Him, to come before Him and acknowledge that He's the only God, to thank Him and praise Him from our hearts for who He is and what He's done. You see the instructions in Psalm 100. Why do we give thanks? Well, the Bible gives us the answer in Psalm 100. Number one in verse 3, it says, "It is He, it is the Lord who made us, and we are His." God created us. Do you realize that? God made you. God made you for a reason and a purpose. He's given you life. You'd only thank and praise Him for giving you life, am I right? He gave you life. There's one thing you can thank Him for. What a great thing to thank Him for. Verse 3, once again, it tells us in verse 3, "We are His people, the sheep of His pasture, that God chose us to be in His family, and God cares for us like a loving shepherd." You know, I was thinking about this, thinking about Ephesians 1:3 through 5. You know that if you're a Christian here today, meaning you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God had all that arranged even before you were even born. He selected you. He wanted you to be a part of His family. Listen to the words of Ephesians 1:3 through 5. Writing to Christians, Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with pleasure and will." You know, out of all the people in the world, God chose you. He wanted you to be a part of His family. Now that's somebody special. God chose you to be a part of His family forever, adopted as a child of God. Whew. Another great reason to thank the Lord. And we move to finally to verse 5. Why would we thank God? Verse 5 tells us, "For the Lord is good." We went over this for two Sundays. God is absolutely, perfectly good because God is holy. There is no bad in God. He allows evil. And there's a whole sermon series coming in 2016 on that. On why that there's evil in the world if God is perfectly good. And then we come to number 4. It's because God's love for us can never be stopped. Verse 5. "His love endures forever." It's that beautiful word we studied for 2 weeks, hesed. It's the steadfast, unfailing love and kindness of God. It keeps flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing over to you in your life. And then finally, we thank God because God is totally dependable and faithful forever. God is the ultimate promise keeper. When God makes a promise, He fulfills that promise. You know what the Bible teaches as well? Even when we are faithless, God remains faithful to us. Isn't that cool? Even when you blow it, even when you turn your back on Him, even though you go hours, maybe a day of ignoring God, He's still faithful to you because He purchased you by His blood and you are now adopted as His son or daughter forever and ever. You're a child of God and no one or nothing can take it away. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. These are just 5 reasons. There's many, 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 many more. Amen? We could be here all day. These are the ones given to us in the psalm. The perfectly good Lord loves His people forever and is faithful to them forever. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. This past Monday, I was sitting in the pastor's study on edge. I had my keys in my pocket. I was ready to leave at a moment's notice. I was just waiting for a call. I was waiting for a call to inform me the condition of Bob Bakely Sr. Those of you who were here last week, he had a cardiac arrest, meaning his heart stopped right here in the sanctuary while we were singing and thanking God, right over there. And as the EMT said to me, he was dead. He died. And I learned later that he died four times. And he was brought back to life. Well, I heard from the family. I'm close with the family. I love the family. They let me know that Bob was not doing well Sunday night. And it looked like he wasn't going to make it, as far as the information that I received. And so you can know why I was on edge as a pastor. I was ready to minister to the family, go up there, surround the bed, whatever it was going to take. The phone call comes in. Bob Bakely Jr. calls me. And I'm nervous because I'm wondering what's the news going to be. I was stunned at the news. Oh, my dad's awake. He's doing fine. He's talking. They put a pacemaker in. And I couldn't believe it. And he just told me the story of what happened. And I'm here to tell you, it was a miracle. Amen. It was a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural act that cannot be explained by humans. I know that in my heart, even though I'm an amateur. Trust me, I'm like most of you. I don't know a lot. I did some investigation. I talked to a doctor here in town about it at length. I talked to an EMT here. No, what is your title? I talked to the paramedic. Sorry. And other people, and I am convinced that it was a miracle that this man died four times, and he shouldn't be alive today, and he's alive and well, and he's at home. And he was going to come today, wasn't he? Was not up for it? He's sore. That's because he had a 300-plus man on top of him. And nothing against you, Ron. I had said to someone, man, I hope, you know, I want a paramedic there if I have a heart attack, but if it's Ron, I think he'd probably crush me. Look at how small I am. I thought, whoo, whoo. But it's a miracle what happened. Now I'm going to tell you my testimony, then Bob and Ron are going to come up and give you a brief testimonies. Okay, picture the scene. I'm in my office. I'm wondering what's going to happen. I'm ready to dash up to the hospital. I get the phone call, and I'm stunned. I sit down. I'm working on my PowerPoint for this message. This is the slide that I was working on right at that moment. I had written the perfectly good Lord loves. The phone rings, I pull it out. I get the phone call, put it in. I sit down. I type the rest of it, and it hit me. It was a God moment. God was speaking directly to me through this. I think he helped me write that down. I don't know where that came from. After I studied, I wrote that phrase down. I was looking at my notes, and I said, well, I'll share it with the congregation. And I look at it, I heard about Bob's resurrection and recovery, and I read that, and I went, wow. Talk about the spiritual goosies, you know. The perfectly good Lord loves his people forever and is faithful to them forever. Wow. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to call upon the testifiers, the paramedic. Come on up, Brother Ron. Come on up, Bob. You guys can come up together. You're going to be given your testimony here, and you're going to use the center mic, but they said don't get too close. They'll pick it up and adjust the volume, and what you'll find out. Yeah, come over this side. It might be easier because that's Bob's guitar and everything. Well, he could probably make it up there. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our in-house paramedic, Ron Helm.
Don't forget, this was a team effort. Not only was I doing CPR, Ellen was doing mouth-to-mouth. She deserves just as much thanks. I started off my day today with a cardiac arrest out of one of the nursing homes. We spent 30 minutes doing CPR, did all the advanced stuff I do, IVs, medications. We got him to the hospital, and they pronounced him dead because that's the way they go most of the time. Most of the time, by the time a person goes into cardiac arrest, there's not a good chance they're going to come out of it. 20 years of doing EMS, I have never once seen somebody respond the way that Bob responded. I've never done two rounds of CPR and had somebody try to crawl away from me. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Now, my buddy Jay was the treating paramedic who came through the door, and I said, he was in legit cardiac arrest, and Jay said to me, if it was anybody but you telling me that, I wouldn't believe them. I didn't really believe it myself. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. And this entire sanctuary was praying for Bob at that moment in time. God heard those prayers because it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with Alan. You're beautiful. You did a great job with mouth to mouth. But you know, it had nothing to do with us. We were here to be able to help, but it was all God's work. And the majority of the time, it doesn't come out like that. So praise God, seriously.
My job is to tell you why it happened. If you were here Friday night, I basically told you why it happened. At some point, early in the week, I'm sorry, my nose is running, I have a cold. The Holy Spirit laid on me the story of Job. The accuser of the brethren stood before God and accused his congregation because the potential behind this congregation is tremendous. Our adversary, Satan, does not like that. So he struck and God performed his miracle healing. We had the potential as a congregation to move forward in ways that maybe we don't even know. This didn't happen for any specific person, for any specific individual. It happened because of the potential we have before us to take huge and giant steps forward in directions we may not even know we have. I apologize to Ron, or to Ellen, I should say, because I told Dad that the reason why he was sore is because of you. So he gets angry at you when he sees you. But that's the reason why it happened. I just would like you to take that, internalize it for yourself, and ponder where we go from here. Amen. These attacks will not stop. As a matter of fact, they are continuing. So that's my responsibility to God to tell you why this happened. It wasn't for no reason. This didn't happen for no reason. There was a reason behind it. I want to thank my brother and sister are back there. They came. My sister-in-law Kathy, and my mom's here. And Dad's home. He's doing fine. Unbelievable. Oh, just Ron didn't tell you this. I did a little bit of research from professionals. 16% of people survive in ICU when they suffer. It's called asystolic. That means there's no heart rhythm, no heartbeat. There's no electrical current. 16% in ICU where they have everything available to themselves. Outside the hospital, it's more like 2-4% that survive. That happened four times. So, praise God. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Ron, also, here on the floor, my wife saw an indentation in my dad's chest. And Ron said, I'm sorry, I had to break his ribs. And Ellen was there. Also, Fran, at the hospital in Cape Regional, he flatlined again, and they told my wife, we broke his ribs. And I said, no, that happened at church. They broke his ribs at church. There's no evidence of broken ribs. He's sore, but there's no evidence of broken ribs. It's, praise God. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for that wonderful miracle. And it's something to ponder and think about in your own life. What does it mean for you? What does it mean for our church moving forward? And we need to take on this county for Christ. Amen. Amen. We need to become an outreach-focused church here. There's so many people that are hurting in Cape May County. Am I right? We need to be the light in the darkness here. And it's time to step up and step out. Pray about that. Think about that. Oh, I got to turn this on. I turned it off. My bad. The fact is, the psalm teaches, the Bible declares, God's people give thanks. That's the bottom line. It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. Here are the action steps. The first one you've known about all month. We asked you to put together the top 10 things you're most thankful for and use it every day to thank the Lord throughout November. Here's my challenge for you this Thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving, wherever you go, whatever you do, take the initiative with your family or friends. Break out a Thanksgiving psalm. If you want to use Psalm 100, Psalm 118 that we studied, you can do that. And spend time thanking God with your family and friends. It's only right that you do it at Thanksgiving. Am I right? It's a day of giving thanks. That's my challenge to you. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone.